There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser has taken a very well-deserved day off. This is podcast number 308, October 12th, 2008. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads get you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From Paramours to Peterbilts, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we always thank Yahoo Ads. Okay, here we are. We're in Japan, Mount Fuji. Always a great view. And we've got a dry qualifying. There's a little dampness on the track, but
a little residual wetness from rains earlier in the day.
Correct, but it's cool.
Yeah, and it doesn't really affect the track too much because the dry line is pretty much there after the first 5 minutes of Q1.
Exactly. And one team that I thought would be doing well does not do that well, especially in the first beginning of qualifying. And I'm talking BMW here. All the hoopla. We're the machismo, the third best team in the world. That's not panning out anymore, Steven.
No, and again, Mario Tyson thinks that he's going to sign Nick Heidfeld to next season, and that's going to help boost his confidence because he's not going to be worried about not having his spot next year. And what does he do? He goes out in the first.
Not only that, but I mean, they did the same thing to Kimi Raikkonen, signing him, hoping that would boost his confidence and, you're not sure where Kimi Raikkonen is any day of the week.
Yeah, and his performance lately has been he gets fast in the race, but for the first stint, he's just kind of mediocre, and then he picks it up in two and three, and that's not going to cut it for, everybody's kind of going, this is the world champion? He doesn't seem to have much fire.
Yeah, and everybody's saying that, but, it goes without saying Kimi Raikkonen is definitely an enigma, if anything else.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot, too, with Kimi, that he worked so hard for so many years to finally get it, that it's not really that big a surprise that he's kind of had a drop-off. Because, he was so close for two or three years at McLaren, and the car always let him down. And then at Ferrari, it almost falls in his lap last year.
Yeah.
With McLaren kind of just going, here, since we couldn't give it to you when you were with us, we'll just lose it to you.
Exactly.
Now that you're a Ferrari.
And, of course, Ferrari brings back the vintage lollipop. They had to dust it off, sand it down, get it a new paint job.
Go find it. Go dig it out of the museum.
Exactly. But sure enough, they did bring back the lollipop. No red light, green light, I think, till the end of the season. They might bring back the red light contraption.
They might bring it back for next season, but I don't think we'll see it again this year. And then somebody I noticed an article during the week that Honda was looking into using the stuff.
But they had a new there was much more stylistic. Did you see that? It was windswept, very cool looking.
It's the little pod.
Yeah, so Honda is just looking cool. They're not fast, but that was cool. And anyway, let's go to Q1. And sure enough, the people that are struggling are some of the people that I don't expect to struggle. I expected Nick Heidfeld to shine this weekend, but a lot of people are having trouble getting temperatures into tires and choosing the right tire. And Sebastian Vettel seems to be struggling as well. Bourdais doing a little bit of a better job.
A little stronger. Yeah, it seemed the biggest problem a lot of people were having with the cool temperatures and the damp track, having a hard time getting the tires up to temperature to where they could put down good fast laps because the tires weren't sticking. Bridgestone comes with their prime and option tires, but it's one of their harder compounds, and that wasn't helping any. And then painting green stripes on them to advertise their new green initiative for green cars.
You know what? Go recycle more. Save the green paint.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't like the green stripes. You can't tell if there's a white stripe in there.
Half the time you couldn't tell if they were on the option because you couldn't... If you're going to go with the green stripe, differentiate that green a little more from white. You know, it was just kind of like a really light green. And if the tire was in shadow, you couldn't tell if it was the option tire or not.
I agree. So I didn't like the green stripes, but nevertheless, they had it. It was a novelty.
Now that I think about it, the best thing for them to have done would have been to left the damn third stripe blank if it was not correct. The option tire. That way you'd know it was which
that,
one
that,
it was.
That would have been helpful. But, of course, out in the first session is one surprise and the usual culprits.
Yeah, poor Honda in what amounts to their home race. Just slowest in the speed trap. You know, during the race they give some people some trouble, but not much. And then, of course, the two Force India Ferraris are done qualifying 20 and 21st. Rubinho actually out qualifies Jenson Button in 17 and 18, and then Nick Heidfeld just barely gets squeezed out by 5/1000ths by Nico Rosberg.
It doesn't matter. And he came out with excuses afterwards. You know, we didn't choose the right tire. Blah, blah, blah. Robert Kubica didn't have that problem.
Yeah, knowing that, dude, your car is a heck of a lot faster than, you know. Kubica's got 0.2 on you. You should have been out of that session. There's no... drivers who make excuses...
I know, no but sympathy. For the Nick Heidfeld fans out there, you should be happy with the signed. Yeah,
well, knowing that, but give Nick a little credit in the fact this is only the second time in the last 4 years or something that he's been out in the first session.
I don't give anybody credit, Steve, except for myself. Back.
Since the implementation of the knockout qualifying, the second time he's been knocked out. But both of those have been this year.
There you have it. And thank you, Steve, for the statistics. Those are deeply needed here. So, yes, there you have it. Q2, I got a little shaken up because Fernando was struggling. And I was going... And Piquet was looking good.
Yeah, Nelson...
What's going on there? I think Fernando was doing it to help Piquet's morale.
Maybe. Maybe Nelsinho likes the good Japanese sushi or something, and it just gives him more speed.
It's possible.
But, I'm not sure, but a good session for them. Like you said, Fernando was having a little bit of a challenge early in the session.
But then pounds a good lap in and gets up to, I believe, sixth.
Yeah, sixth or seventh to get himself over into the next session. Out in this session are David Coulthard, Nelson Piquet. He puts down a pretty good lap, but not...
He just couldn't.
Yeah, he was having... He couldn't get that good golden lap. You know, he couldn't get, Fernando's 0.3. Out also is Mark Webber, Kazuki Nakajima, who out qualifies his teammate, Nico Rosberg. Kind of tough for the Williams home race for Nakajima. We're hoping to get a little bit further along into the qualifying, but... no such luck. The Williams was not exceptionally quick this weekend. Again, I think a lot of people were having trouble getting heat into the tires with the cold ambient temperatures and the track being cold itself.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid to say it. The tires are just not that great in the first place.
No, they're pretty crummy tires, so should be interesting.
And, of course, both Red Bulls are out while both Toro Rosso's
advance.
Make it into Q3, which is becoming the norm now. Sebastian Bourdais also doing a great job.
Yeah, Bourdais having a really good weekend. I believe he set the fastest lap in that second session. Or he had the... Is it fastest lap?
Not sure, Steve. You're the stats guy.
I couldn't remember.
Exactly. Q3, exciting, sort of, until the end. And, of course, Ferrari couldn't pull it out of the hat. Massa needed a pole here.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing that kind of surprised me, especially with Massa, is Massa could have taken another hot lap because he'd crossed the line before time ran out and he shut it down.
Yeah, not only that, but Heikki Kovalainen doing a pretty good job, but still Lewis Hamilton seemed to struggle. But then when he puts in a good lap, he puts in a good lap.
He nails
lap.
It.
He does nail it.
And I think Heike's always a little bit disadvantaged because Heike's going to get the heavy strategy of the pair of cars.
Perhaps.
Because Lewis is Lewis.
And, of course, Kimi Raikkonen was spotted leaving the Red Bull paddock with a can of Red Bull in his hands. And I think this is why he seems to have awoken.
First time that Kimi's been in the first row since very early in the season. He puts down a really good lap, though he is 0.2 behind Lewis, but 0.2 up on Heikki Kovalainen.
And while I thought Fernando Alonso was struggling in Q2, he does what El Hombre Muy Macho de España is expected to do, takes the Renault and gets into the second row alongside Heikki Kovalainen. A couple of bravos go out right away because Delsino, you know, I'm going, you know, either Flavio is very patient
or
he's lost it completely.
Well, I think it's more of a patience thing. I don't think that he's really excited. If they were closer to the hunt for constructors, truly looking to get something in the Constructors' Championship, I think that Flavio might have cut him by now. But I don't think he's that concerned with it. I think he's kind of biding his time because he wants to see who becomes available at the end of the season as far as drivers before he jumps at, you know, bringing in Grosjean or one of the other young talents.
Exactly, and not a good day for Felipe Massa. When I'm thinking he should be shooting for pole, Lewis Hamilton nails pole, and Felipe Massa is behind Fernando Alonso in the third row, fifth spot.
Next, Robert Kubica.
And Robert Kubica does a pretty good job. You could tell he's struggling with the car. The car is really certainly not as smooth as the McLaren or the Ferrari. Also, Jarno Trulli, Timo Glock, you know, they're on the Toyota track, and they need to shine here. Yeah. They have to get points.
They did manage to get in through the first two sessions, which was a good thing for them during the final bit. But they're putting down decent times. They out-qualified both Toro Rosso's. But I think both Toro Rosso's are trying to go out heavy, so to try to get more out of the hard tires.
Exactly. So that was a great session. Congratulations to Lewis Hamilton with a pole. And it looked like that, you know, in the interview on ITV, you know, he said he's more mature, more prepared, and understands that he's got to race for points, not just wins anymore. And so we're seeing the more mature Lewis Hamilton.
Certainly sounding like it did exactly. In the qualifying.
Exactly. And, of course, as a team, they're not going to make the silly mistakes they made last year. So keep up the good work, Lewis. A fine pole indeed. And even great for Kimi Räikkönen, the P2.
Yeah, definitely good. Kind of redeeming himself, especially considering the trouble that Felipe had. Now it's a situation where Kimi really needs to get in front of Lewis on the start so that he can work to take away those points and give Massa a chance to come back up in the field and take points away from Lewis.
Exactly. A lot of people expected rain at Fuji. That doesn't materialize. It's a cool but nice day. We're talking about 67 laps, 4.563 kilometers. So nice track.
About 2.8 miles.
And it's funny, when it's not raining, when it's a nice clear day, it's a pretty nice racetrack.
Yeah, it's actually a nice track to watch a race. It's got some elevation change, which is always fun. And it's got that one long straight, which was really fun to watch some of the people really race down. You could tell who had no wing and who did.
Exactly. And setting up the car was critical because of that long straight. And then you have the slower chicanes and what have you.
The whole rest of the track is pretty twisty. And not a really lot of high speed corners, so you've got to get a really good balance in there. Otherwise, you're going to pay for it on one end of the track.
Okay, so we have Lewis Hamilton pole, Kimi Räikkönen. He has to be thinking, I've got to cut this guy off, so he could pull a Schumacher move or something.
Yeah, I got to get.
And you have that long straight before.
Got a good run down in there, and then it's a pretty tight corner down there.
But I would think that you'd get the field pretty strung out with the Ferraris with their speed and the McLarens with managing their tires well. But, hey, the lights go out, and Kimi Räikkönen has a good start. Lewis Hamilton has a terrible start.
I would probably say this is probably the worst start from pole that Lewis has ever had that we've seen.
I agree.
He just does not get off the dime for a darn. Both Ferraris, before they get 25, 30 feet off of the line, both Ferraris are in front of him.
Exactly. Not only that, but everybody knows they've got cool tires. It's cool outside. What does everybody do?
They go hell-bent for leather into the corner. And
exactly. Lewis Hamilton makes big mistakes here. And the maturity that we talked about in post-qualifying, you know, the interview, he's more machismo now. That's all thrown out the window.
As soon as the lights went out, that disappeared.
I don't know what's going on with this young man.
Yeah, he comes busting up on the inside to turn one, and I swear he locks him up for 30, 40 feet.
Exactly. And ends up running. And Heikki Kovalainen practically hit Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, and then basically forced Raikkonen and Massa off track. And in fact, later on, Lewis Hamilton will take a penalty for his chicanery.
Exactly.
Into the first corner.
No pun intended. And while this is happening, David Coulthard, I think he gets tagged by one of the Toyotas, doesn't see the damage. Kaz Nakajima loses it. David Coulthard loses control of the car and goes, bam, right into the tire barrier.
Hard into the barriers.
It's some heavy damage. He's out of the race.
Looked what happened is it looked like he got bumped or bumped someone and snapped something in his rear suspension, on the right rear suspension. And it just, as he was going, coming out of turn one down into turn two, it just let go. You just see him going. He's all of a sudden, zoop, off into the barriers.
Now,
then Nakajima got somebody, which caused his front wing to come loose because it was kind of they showed one shot where just, he goes off track and all of a sudden his wing just goes flying up in the air. But he manages to get around the track and get that nose replaced.
And Robert Kubica has a good start. Fernando Alonso has a great start. And these guys say, you know what, we're not going to be part of this ridiculousness.
Yeah, they both managed to let the whole schmozzle slide past them and they ducked in and got up there and put themselves in 1-2. After Lou Hamm's circus in the first corner.
In the middle of lap one, it's Robert Kubica, Fernando Alonso, Heikki Kovalainen, Jarno Trulli, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, who lost a lot of spot because he almost got tagged by a number of cars, but saves it. And, of course, we have Nelson Piquet right behind Kimi Raikkonen. And right before lap two even begins, Lewis Hamilton, as Felipe Massa is ahead of him, they're slipping in a slide, and Lewis Hamilton gets tagged a little bit by Felipe Massa, spins, and he has no choice but to wait for the entire field to go by.
Yeah, because he's too far up in the field. He can't turn around without. And when Felipe bumps him and spins him around, good bit of driving by Piquet not to just completely take both of them out because he missed him by just inches. Getting around him on the inside.
Exactly. And Lewis Hamilton had braked and flat-spotted his tires so bad they were down to the canvas, and he was suffering from a lot of vibration. So he pits after he gets back on track and gets some fuel, gets some new tires. Slow takeoff, almost stalls it, and I'm going, man, what this guy, once again, I'm back to last year. Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
You can smell China all over again. He can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and he thinks it's a freight train because he's just completely coming unglued. It's just, I don't know if he's just trying to be aggressive, but it seems like he's taken his aggression up a notch instead of trying to rein it in and bring it back a little bit so that he doesn't make mistakes like this, because this was his race to basically put away the championship. If he finishes high in the points, the move on Massa. He doesn't need to get past Massa there.
No, he doesn't.
He needs to just basically just follow Massa around the track for the day and, you know, wait for a good opportunity. Don't, you know, if he stays close, they can get him in the pits.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ron Dennis was pulling what little hair left he had, because I'm sure they had a meeting explaining to Lewis Hamilton, we're now in the points gathering. You know, we don't have to win. We don't have to take the big risks.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens is that he gets the bad start and he panics. And with all that went on in the turn one, I bet his adrenaline was spiking like a mother. And so now he's not thinking anymore. He's just going. And, you know, somebody should have been on the radio to him after the incident in the first corner and go, ease up, Lewis. We need to finish this race. We need to finish in the points.
Lap two, after Lewis Hamilton pits, Kimi Raikkonen puts in a fast lap. Then lap three, fast lap of the race, Kimi Raikkonen with a 1:19.415. Actually, the second lap, the fast lap, was Robert Kubica in the lead. And then Kimi Raikkonen answered back with a 1:19.415. And Sebastian Bourdais at this stage, lap three, is up to sixth.
Good start for him.
And Vettel is in ninth. Absolutely outstanding. Lap four, fast lap of the race, Kimi Raikkonen with a 1:19.369. And on lap five, Timo Glock pits. He's got some kind of problem with the tires. We're not sure.
Yeah.
13-second stop.
there's some question as to whether or not maybe he was the one that was involved with
DC.
Yeah, with David Coulthard.
Exactly, and I believe
and
he was.
Maybe in the way it looks, because I think he comes in, they look at it, you know, they're shaking the car looking for loose nuts and bolts. They send him back out, but he's back in the next lap, and it's in the garage.
Exactly. Lap five, fast lap, Kimi Raikkonen with a 119.323. That can of Red Bull, the sleeping giant is awoken.
Yeah, definitely seems to be having... He's actually racing for a change.
He's doing a pretty good job, and he wants to get back to those 2 liters up front. Let me see. Robert Kubica and Fernando Alonso. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Fantastico.
Also, count and see how many of those come up today.
On lap 9, very sad, once again, Sutil had managed to get all the way up to, I believe, 10th.
Yeah.
Doing a fantastic job. Right going down the straight, there was debris. I'm not sure why that never got cleaned up, but he gets a puncture. He is out of the race.
Yeah. Don't know what happened there. Don't even know, really know where the debris came from, because nothing happened unless it was something that fell off of somebody's car in the that opening schmozzle. Maybe it may have been bits and pieces of Nakajima's car that were left over because from his little schmozzle. One thing I noticed, there was one shot where Fisichella was fighting with, I think it was Rosberg, and I noticed that the very tip of Fisichella's nose was gone.
Huh, that's Fisichella for you, always being machismo.
Yeah.
And as Adrian Sutil was climbing out of the car, Kimi Raikkonen passes Jarno Trulli for P4. He is very excited. He understands, I need to get some points for Ferrari.
Yeah, he's trying to run down the leaders. He's not that concerned with the guys in front of him because none of them, except for... Kovalainen, I guess, is still in front of him, and he's looking pretty good. He, in a couple laps, will throw down the fastest lap. But Kimi's just trying to stay close to the leaders.
And he's doing a good job. Lap 10, Felipe Massa is closing in on Sebastian Bourdais. And lap 11, Fernando Alonso is catching the BMW. And ladies and gentlemen, I say Renault is coming back, Machismo is coming back, and people will be listening to moi again. Because I think Fernando's doing some good laps. He's catching the BMW, and that's what I want to see.
And he was saying that the team is really beginning to understand this car. He was really happy with the car, the way the car was working for him this weekend. And I think that's part of it, too, is that they've finally gotten around this particular car and know how to get it set up to get the most out of it, which they really were having a hard time doing earlier in the season.
Exactly. Lap 12, the FIA, our stewards, our friends, the Ferrari International Assistance Team, has announced that car 1, car 2, and car number 22 are being investigated. And that's because of the schlemazel,
yes,
as Steve Faub says, at the first turn the beginning of
the race.
And
the first lap, but... They're also investigating. They're basically investigating the start and investigating Felipe's little let's spin him about move.
Exactly, which was fine. I don't know. I thought it was a racing incident, but these days everything is investigated.
Yeah,
and it's getting a little boring.
Yeah, and they get a little carried away this weekend too.
Lap 12, fastest lap of the race. Heikki Kovalainen with a 119.258. Lap 13, Robert Kubica to Fernando Alonso is 1.5 seconds. In the meantime, Nico Rosberg is trying to get by Giancarlo Fisichella.
And Fizzy's making it tough on him. Nico basically can outrace him down the straight, but he just can't get enough on him to stay ahead of him, but does manage in 2 laps to finally get past him.
Exactly. Lap 14, Fernando Alonso is now his fastest in Sector 2. Keep up the good work, Fernando. Some people say your cage was rattled. We will fight them till the very end. Lap 15, Nico Rosberg does get by Giancarlo Fisichella for P13. And Lewis Hamilton is catching Jenson Button.
Yep, and we've got 3 seconds between covering the top three racers at this point at lap 16. And then Kimi throws down another fastest lap, so he's gaining on those other three.
Absolutely. Kimi Raikkonen is beginning to catch the two cars that are at the front of the spear with a 119.193. And lap 17, the kablamo, or whatever you want to say, to the McLaren team has arrived. Heikki Kovalainen, smoke coming out of the back of the car. Some say kablamo, I say kablooey. But nevertheless, the nightmare just continues for Ron Dennis.
Oh, Ron Dennis, just talk about a day from, you know, it's like, why do we even come to Japan after things going on? Heike's kicking ass. He's having a good race so far. He's solid.
He thought he could win.
He could win it, conceivably, with the two cars in front of him compared to his own. And then, what is this? Not their first one of the year, but very inopportune moment for it to occur.
Exactly. Lap 17, Kimi Raikkonen pits, Robert Kubica pits. And during that moment, the drive-through for Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa was handed down. It was announced they will get a drive-through penalty. And when Fernando heard about that, he goes, I'll put in a fast lap with a 1:19.169. On the following lap, Fernando Alonso pits, and Yarno Trulli leads the race for Toyota here in beautiful Fuji. Lap 19, Yarno Trulli, Sebastian Bourdais, Nelson Piquet, Sebastian Vettel, and Fernando Alonso are the top five. Lap 20, Felipe Massa takes his drive-through penalty. And I had a little chuckle when this happened. Lewis Hamilton sees blue flags, and they had to get on the radio to tell him what that was.
What it meant.
Yeah, and that meant Yarno Trulli is about to lap you, Lewis Hamilton.
So,
you rookie!
Yeah, move over.
Yarno Trulli pits on the following lap with an 8.1-second stop. Keep up the good work for Toyota. And once again, this is why I'm always a good fan of the former world champions, Renault. They have a great team, great people, and they manage the race very well. And Fernando Alonso is able to leapfrog Robert Kubica because they were already thinking ahead.
Yep. Basically, they short fuel him a little bit.
They do short fuel him, and they tell him this is it. And they're going for, you know, risky strategy, short fuel him, and they're putting basically their little basket of huevos and giving it to Fernando and saying, hey,
run.
Go, baby. And exactly. Of course they know there is no cage rattled here. It's the machismo.
No, they short fuel him so he can get out ahead of Sebastian Vettel. About four laps less fuel than Robert Kubica is going to have. Sorry, pardon me on that one. But basically they go, Fernando, go.
Exactly.
You need to push. We've gotten you some clerk track. Use it.
Schumacher-esque to use an adjective, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Just get out there and run like hell because it's going to make the difference in the race.
Lap 21, Giancarlo Fisichella pits from P13. And now, lap 22, Sebastian Bourdais is leading his very first Formula One Grand Prix.
Good for him. And after the two drive-thrus, Felipe and Lewis are in 14th and 15th, respectively.
Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Between the gnome, Cupid doll, and the rookie, I just don't know what to say about these teams.
Yeah, I don't know we can call him a rookie anymore, but
yeah, you can. I'm calling him a rookie.
Certainly.
Those kinds of mistakes when you're leading the championship three races to go?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's a rookie mistake. Nelson Piquet is in second, Sebastian Vettel in third, and Fernando Alonso is wringing his hands knowing that he's already stopped and they haven't.
Yep.
Giancarlo Fisichella has some kind of a problem on lap 25, and he is out of the race, and a big bummer for Force India.
Yeah, both cars done, one to accident and the other to mechanical failure.
Exactly, lap 23, Sebastian Vettel pits from P3 with an 8.9-second stop and goes back on the hard, or I call it the green compound. Lap 24, it's Sebastian Bourdais, Nelson Piquet, Fernando Alonso, Robert Kubica, and Kimi Raikkonen round off the top five. Lap 25, Sebastian Bourdais pits, goes with the hard tires, good stop, Toro Rosso, killer stops, very, very well-organized team, and they've really stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, this team has made leaps and bounds this season as far as becoming a stronger and more competitive team. One, their car's working really well, their drivers aren't making mistakes generally, and their reliability, considering what happened to them in the first five races, has jumped leaps and bounds.
Exactly. Now, after Sebastian Bourdais pits, I saw something that I could not believe, but there you have it. after I splashed myself with Paddy's Irish whiskey. Sure enough, Nelson Piquet is leading the race. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I am fighting for my job. So keep up the good work, Nelsino. In all lap 26, it's Nelson Piquet, Fernando Alonso, Robert Kubica, Kimi Raikkonen, and Mark Webber. Sebastian Bourdais comes out in front of Sebastian Vettel. I thought that was pretty good. Keep up the good work on Toro Rosso. And Bourdais is having a solid race.
Yeah, he's...
I think he's getting to grips with the car a lot more.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if Champ ever ran on the Fuji circuit, because he seems to be driving this track like he's been there before. We know Sebastian Vettel has, but just a really good race weekend for Sebastian Bourdais.
Exactly. Nelson Piquet pits on lap 28. 7.8 second stop. Good job. And now Fernando Alonso is leading the race. Meanwhile, Nico Rosberg is pushing and trying to get by Rubens Barrichello. And Nelson Piquet comes out in sixth position. Lap 29, Felipe Massa gets by Jenson Button.
Yay for Felipe. It actually makes it's really important for Felipe to get up, because
he's got to get into the points.
He's got Lewis behind him, and he has a chance to take points. And pretty sure that Lewis is going to have a hard time scoring any, being back where he's at. So Massa's got to run. Otherwise, you know, you may as well just hand the crown to Lou Hamm now.
Lap 30. Fernando Alonso now has a 7-second lead to second position Robert Kubica. Keep up the good work, Fernando.
Putting space between them.
Steady 119s, you know. Very consistent.
Well, they were saying at one point that there was a period in the race where two cars were consistently below 120. And it was the two Renaults.
Exactly. So keep up the good work at Renault, Pat Simmons. You're doing a fine job. More zeros to all of you. Lap 34, Fernando Alonso, Robert Kubica, Kimi Raikkonen, Mark Webber, and Jarno Trulli are the top five. Mark Webber finally pits, and Lewis Hamilton passes Jenson Button. I think it's like the third or fourth time he's passed Jenson Button. He's like stuck in some kind of Groundhog Day
loop there.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening. Looked like a Star Trek episode. For P13, Fernando Alonso now has 10 seconds over Robert Kubica. Lap 36, Kaz Nakajima pits. And on the following lap, Jenson Button pits from P14. And obviously he's on a one-stopper. And the one-stop guys are having a real hard time with these tires.
Yeah, they started out on the primes and they're doing okay, but we're going to see towards the end of the race that these poor guys, we see late in the race, Mark Webber's tires are bald.
Yeah, well, the worst part about a one-stopper is you have to run with the soft compound, and that means you're running on it way over the limit that the tire was really meant for.
Exactly. And especially for a track where they have so little tire data, it's really a risky strategy, because you could easily put yourself in a position where you end up losing a tire because you just wore it out.
Exactly. Lap 38, Rubens Barrichello pits from P12. And on lap 39, Fernando Alonso is pulling away from the BMW of Robert Kubica. And Mario Tyson is going, "How did those French do it? I do not understand."
Actually, there was a great radio call to Robert Kubica. "He's pulling away. You got to go faster." "I'm trying."
Exactly. The Renault, I don't know. I mean, they're down 20 horsepower at least. And they've come and found a way with the package, everything, the suspension, to make up for that. And, of course, you have Fernando Alonso, who certainly doesn't hurt.
Well, that, and I think they hit the mix of speed versus downforce for this track right on the nose. They seem to have the best mix of anybody, because they're consistently getting that 119, 120 lap, and nobody else seems to be able to hold that number consistently.
Exactly. Nick Heidfeld pits on lap 39 with an 8.9 second stop. Lap 40, Fernando Alonso is fastest in sector 2 with a 28.7. Lap 41, Lewis Hamilton pits, 8.4 second stop, and I believe this is Lewis Hamilton's last stop of the race.
Yeah, he's trying to run it out. He wants to get in and out ahead of the rest so they can try to get some people, leapfrog some people on the field.
Exactly. Fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso with a 119.101. The gap between Robert Kubica and Fernando is now 13 seconds. Lap 42, Nico Rosberg pits, and Fernando Alonso pits. He's got to go with the softs, and it's a 7.8 second stop. Excellent teamwork. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. And once again, Lewis Hamilton passes a Honda once again. But this time, it's Rubens Barrichello for P12.
He seems to somehow manage. He goes for that pit stop, and
he's always
Honda gets ahead of him
every time.
He's got to go back out there and get past it again. And he's losing a lap or two trying to do this because both Button and Barrichello are very good at not giving you good, clean openings to get past him. And Lewis is probably so used to passing them with a blue flag instead of actually having to race them for position. He's a little confused because that Honda's just not pulling over like it usually does.
Exactly. He doesn't understand this, and he's really getting irate. Lap 45, fastest lap of the race, Kimi Raikkonen, which is not surprising, 119.076. And Felipe Massa is now finally in P8 points paying position. Lap 46, Robert Kubica pits 7 seconds flat, goes with the softs, and he comes out in P7, and Kimi Raikkonen is now leading the race. Very good stuff. Lap 48, Kimi Raikkonen does have one more pit stop, 7.4 seconds stop, and he goes with the soft tires as well and comes out right behind Robert Kubica for third. And he's got a possible podium. And if we know Kimi Raikkonen, we know he's capable. He should be able to catch the BMW and pass it.
And he wants to pass him because he needs to score second place in this race to stay alive in the Drivers' Championship.
Exactly. Now, at this stage, we have Yarno Trulli, Nelson Piquet, Sebastian Bourdais, Fernando Alonso, and Sebastian Vettel. But Fernando has already done his second stop. All of these other people have not.
Exactly.
So Fernando is already being told on the radio, keep the steady pace. We might even have a win here, Fernando.
Yeah. Just stay on top of it. Don't let them add much of the gap. They're running a little bit lighter, but you can keep close. And you can basically leapfrog everybody that's in front of you in their pit stop.
Exactly. Lap 48, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa realizes that he's got to climb up this grid for some more points with a 119.014. And at this stage, I'm going Nelson Piquet is really, he's the other one that's woken up and is doing a pretty good job. No mistakes. Well, he makes a couple of mistakes.
We see some more stuff a little bit later on, but he's solidly in fourth place at this point, and he's running well. He's not doing, he's got a good line. He's staying in contact. He's keeping the car on the track.
Exactly. Very impressive stuff. Keep up the good work. Nelson Piquet is now leading on lap 50, and Felipe Massa spins while Sebastian Bourdais is just coming out of the pits. And it was almost like he expected Bourdais to just pull over and let him by. But this is, we're fighting for position here.
Yeah, we're fighting for position here. Bourdais is in the pit out lane. He's where he's supposed to be. He's basically staying to the inside of the corner, and Felipe basically cuts him off and spins out. And should we talk about that now or
about it later? No, I'm not going to talk about it now, Stephen, because I'm still irritated about the whole thing. But I thought Sebastian Bourdais did the right thing. Keep up the good work, Bourdais, because he's being aggressive. He's got a race
right here. And he basically took his line. He stayed on his line. He didn't do anything flagrant. And it's basically Massa's move to cut him off that gets Massa to spin out. It, really more of Massa's fault than was Bourdais'.
Exactly. Lap 51, Sebastian Vettel pits, while Kimi Raikkonen is really hounding Robert Kubica. We've got some good stuff going on right here. And this shows Robert Kubica and his machismo-ness.
Yeah, definitely significantly more maturity than some other racers
absolutely
seen today.
Keeps Kimi, who's in obviously a much faster car than the BMW, and Kimi Raikkonen is being kept at bay, and Robert Kubica is managing this very well and very fairly.
Exactly, doing a really good job of making sure that he's got the line he needs to beat Kimi through the corners, and Kimi just doesn't. His car is faster, but he doesn't have it in just the right spots to make the overtake work.
Exactly. Lap 52, Nelson Piquet pits for a 6.4 second stop. He goes on the softs. And while Kubica is holding off Kimi Raikkonen, Felipe Massa pits on lap 53, 4.1 second stop. This is really fast, and he goes back on the hard or the green compound.
Yes, splash and dash. He basically needed just a very small amount of fuel to finish out the race, so they wanted to just get him in and out.
Lap 54, Kimi actually goes wide trying to pass Kimi Raikkonen. And you, I would have thought for sure that he could get him on the straights, but he just couldn't get it done.
No. BMW had good top-end speed and just enough to keep the Ferrari at bay. He couldn't get enough of a toe to slingshot past him going into turn one, which was really the only place he could overtake Kubica, and he just couldn't pull it off.
Exactly. Now, at this stage, here we go again. The FIA announced that car 2 and car 14 are being investigated. You know
this
what?
This is Mas and Bourdais.
Yes, for the and I've had it with these investigations. I mean, if somebody passes flatulence during the race, they're going to be investigated. We are in big trouble.
And the thing that bothered me most about this is that we've got 8-10 laps to go, and they're going to will be determined after the race, which means whatever they decide to do,
you have no control.
Is going to screw you over if you've managed to score or to have a good race, and they're going to come back in and go, meh. You know, the guys in the broadcast were talking a lot about a 10-grid penalty for next week.
I think it should be a monetary fine.
Well, the way the stewards have been this season, there's no way it's going to be a 10-grid penalty in the next race. They're going to take time from somebody, and it's going to F over someone who's had a really good day, and they're going to take it away from them.
Yeah, and not only that, but they're taking away points from somebody and a team that deserves that money. Those points are extremely important at the end of the season. So this is really serious, and the FIA needs to step back and really investigate themselves because to see the lunacy of the whole thing.
Yeah, basically what you're allowing to have happen now is, okay, we've got the rules and regs, but now you've got officials determining the outcome of the race, and that's not what the fans want to see.
Not only that, but you have a certain penalty paranoia setting in where everything is scrutinized, and you're out there. Will you be afraid to race? Will you have some kind of subconscious?
And ultimately, if you kind of go and look at what happened between Bourdais and Massa, that is pretty close to a racing incident.
You see that all the time.
And now they're penalizing people for racing incidents. Neither of those drivers really did anything wrong, but the stewards apparently seem to think that they need to inject themselves into this race at this point for whatever reason.
Mind-boggling, but nevertheless, I say stinko. Lap 55, Nelson Piquet leapfrogs Jarno Trulli for P4. Bravo, bravo, bravo to the whole Renault team. My people are back. My friends are back. And I'm back in 2006 going, machismo. Very good job from Renault. I don't care what anybody says. Outstanding. Lap 56, Nelson Piquet is now catching on the dicing up between Kimi Raikkonen and Robert Kubica. These guys are, they're dicing it up so much, they're losing time, and Nelson Piquet in the Renault is catching up with these guys. Yeah. And they get on the radio and they say, Nelson, you are 1 second faster than these two in the front. See what you can do. Yeah. They're not. I mean, come on. Passing Kimi Raikkonen, I don't expect that. But
if those two weren't dicing it up, he would not be a second.
No,
faster.
But I think it gives Nelson a bit of confidence. You know, you're actually chasing down Kimi Raikkonen and... it's pretty good stuff.
And very, very often, more often than not, if you can give the driver the thought in his head that he's faster, he will be faster.
Exactly. The power of suggestion, Steve. We do it here at F1 Weekly every day.
I know. That's what the zeros are all about.
Huh? Exactly. Felipe Massa passes Nick Heidfeld on lap 60. And the lineup goes like this. Fernando Alonso, Robert Kubica, Kimi Raikkonen, Nelson Piquet, and Jarno Trulli round off the top five. And just a reminder for everyone, Lewis Hamilton is in P12. Lap 61, Felipe Massa now closing in on Mark Webber.
And what apparently is the last points paying position in this race. So he is looking to possibly score a point and take that away from Lou Ham.
Exactly. Fernando Alonso now 12 seconds ahead of Robert Kubica, a steady 12 seconds, banging good laps out. Now they've probably powered down the revs. And they're saying, Fernando,
enjoy your drive in the countryside.
Exactly. Mark Webber's tires are looking terrible.
We see Felipe coming up, and they go to the
onboard. I don't even see how he kept it on the road.
Yeah, they go to the onboard for Mark Webber, and his left front, you could barely see the outside groove. The entire rest of the tire was blank.
Exactly. Lap 63, Nelson Piquet makes a mistake in turn 5. Loses 4 seconds on that one lap. And we're all going, Nelsino.
Okay, dial it back.
Relax.
Let's get the points.
Please, don't put it in the wall. Don't get excited.
Yeah. Don't blow this great opportunity.
Because we need the points to beat Toyota
exactly.
at the end of the season. Lap 64, Felipe Massa going after Mark Webber. And he does on lap 65. Felipe Massa passes Mark Webber for P8 on turn 1.
And you can see it because Mark Webber is fighting that car so hard.
Yeah, but the way Felipe Massa passed him on the right, going over the pit exit stripes. And that wasn't necessary.
No, he could have easily bounced to the outside and taken the wide part of the track and still gotten past him.
Where's the investigation, Steven?
Well, they didn't actually have contact, so apparently that doesn't mean anything. Again, that, to me, that's almost a dangerous driving type of situation. It's completely uncalled for. He did not need to do that. I suppose you could maybe blame Webber a little bit for squeezing him down into that corner, but Felipe could just as easily have taken him on the outside and passed him. With Webber's tires, he could have got him in any of the first three corners, probably.
Yeah. So there you have it, lap 66. I've already opened the bottle of Veuve Clicquot, and I'm going, bravo, 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 fantastico, Fernando. There's no cage rattle here, ladies and gentlemen. We have a superior driver.
And you
driver.
Got your favorite radio call, too.
Yeah, that was the best part. We are back.
And bravo, it was the bravo, fantastico.
Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, the memories.
You're going to have to cut it down to two bravos, though. He's being a little...
It was wonderful. Renault is doing a fine job. Fernando will stay at Renault, I'm sure. Next year, we'll be at the front of the spear. We're going to blow everybody out of the water.
Well, the wonderful thing about this victory, unlike the last one in Singapore, it was kind of handed to him on a platter with the safety car and all that stuff going on.
What? There is no platter in Formula One, Stephen. Poppycock.
Let me finish my point here. In this race... They raced to this victory.
No safety car.
Had a little help from Lewis Hamilton's over-aggressiveness going into the first corner.
Lewis Hamilton needs to help himself. Other people can't do it.
Yeah.
If he wants to make mistakes and lose the world championship, that's his choice.
Exactly.
And Fernando did the right thing. No mistakes, pounded in good laps, consistency, and that's how you win in Formula One.
Yep. And then, so we basically get Ferrari back into the lead in the Constructors' Championships with 140 points over McLaren. It's 135.
I'm excited.
Yep.
This thing is mixed. You know what's really exciting? Is Robert Kubica has a very good chance of winning this World Championship. If we see this continuous mistakes by Massa and Lewis Hamilton, because obviously the pressure is affecting these people.
These two.
The more they deny it, the worse they screw up.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but we have two teams that seem to be kind of crumbling a little under the pressure. You know, BMW at this point has nothing to lose and everything to gain. So they can just go all out. They can be relaxed. They can take care of it. The two guys in the front, basically it's their championship to lose. And the way Lewis Hamilton raced today, there's no reason, starting from pole, that he should have finished 12th.
I concur.
He shouldn't have made the mistake. He should have just let Felipe kind of run. There's no reason for him to finish this race in 12th, and he did. To me, I'm watching this meltdown from him today, and I'm going, it's China from last year all over again. Just really dumb things to do. Okay, fine, you don't want to race for points. You want to race for the win. Fine, but you got to race smart. You're basically handing away the world championship because you want to race to win instead of race for points.
And exactly.
At this point in the season, you know, you've got to race smart.
Exactly. So there you have it. Fernando Alonso, an outstanding job, a great job from Nelson Piquet, coming in fourth. Yano Trulli fifth. Sebastian Bourdais, of course, gets handed a 25-second penalty for his interference with a Ferrari.
Yeah, one wonders.
And of course, that
if he'd done that
to a Toro Rosso or Vettel or Mark Webber.
One of the BMWs, maybe even.
Nobody would have even discussed it.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, Sebastian Bourdais loses his sixth place finish, drops down to ninth, no points, which elevates Felipe Massa, because Massa won another 2 points, which is, you know, BS. At least Mark Webber gets a point out of it. You know, Red Bull had a reasonably good weekend outside of David Coulthard's. Poor Dave can't buy a break lately. But Webber ran a good race on a one-stop strategy, basically a long day for him out there on the track. And good for him to get a point, but it's that's, like you said, Ferrari International Assistance, basically on an incident that was a racing incident that was not Bourdais' fault. Where was he going to go? Take it into the wall to get out of the
way? No, they expect him to put his turn signal on and slow down for the Ferrari.
Yeah, it just...
I don't know, but nevertheless, there'll be some differences of opinion about that. I'm sure the Massa people will say that Massa was in the right. So we'll see. We'll discuss this on the midweek show, of course, with our historical correspondent, the king himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid. But outstanding race.
Yeah, very
Fuji good was pretty good without the rain.
Yeah, lots of good racing. A lot of probably the most passing we've seen all season throughout the race. And just some good racing. Some fun stuff, some really dumb things going on, but a good race overall.
Absolutely, and let's not forget Fernando Alonso and Robert Kubica get along very well. I see Fernando helping Robert to win the world championship. Let's see what happens in China and, of course, the finale in Brazil. So we've got an exciting end to the season. Can Lewis Hamilton and McLaren put it back together?
Can they just basically
not do stupid things?
Exactly. Stop making dumb, what about the dumbest, it's too funny on the grid. Peter Winter's talking with Ron Dennis, and Ron Dennis, we just got to be smart. We just got to not do something stupid. It's like, what does this driver do in the first quarter? You know, it's a crappy start and then makes a really dumb move going into the first turn to basically give it away.
But obviously the adrenaline rush, which you suggested, I'm sure does happen. All of a sudden you're trying to correct a mistake, and you overcorrect, and it just compounds, and you just get a disaster.
Exactly. Then you end up down in 12, where you're at one point he was running last in the field.
Yeah, well, he had no choice. So there you have it. I thought it was a fantastically entertaining race. Of course, kudos to my friends in France. Also, congratulations real quickly to Sebastian Loeb. His fourth win in the Rallye de France in Corsica. Another outstanding, dominant win by the Citroën. Phew, just great stuff.
Does that seal the championship for him? Or is he
still, not yet.
Not quite yet.
We don't want to, you know, spoil it, but he's going to win another championship.
Yeah, I don't see.
The Citroën is just so strong right now.
I don't see him.
And Loeb just has this in total control. Ford beginning to fall apart. So there you have it. Keep up the good work. We'll have the rally update with our Motorsports Mondial on Wednesday. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.